Blog Talk Radio.
I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. Singing, glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Because you know why? There is power, power, wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And it reaches from the highest mountain. It flows from the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. All the blood of Jesus. Raise your hands and just give thanks unto the Lord right now. All the blood of Jesus. All the blood of Jesus that washes whiter than snow. Oh, we give thanks unto you, Lord, on this glorious and victorious day, Lord. We recognize you, we praise you, we extol you, O blessed Lord. Jesus be exalted. Jesus, your name be praised. Jesus, we give your name all the glory for the things that you have done. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is a good thing to give praises unto the Lord. Because God dwells in the midst of praises. Yes, he does. On this glorious day it is, victorious day it is, Sunday, January 23rd, 2022. Another day that the Lord has made. We should all rejoice and be glad in it because it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. And we're just thanking and praising God on this day for the miracles in times past and the miracles in times present and even more so in the miracles that are coming in the very near future. And let me tell you something. God is moving by the power of his Spirit, and we know that it's the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke. And let me tell you something. It's time to let go and experience the height, the depth, and the very breath of God the Almighty. And oh my God, it's healing, healing, physical healings in the body, psychological healings in the mind, emotional scars being healed, spirits being healed, the abilities of outreach and relationships being healed. Oh, God is just doing it all on the supernatural frequency. And if I were you, and I'm just giving you some advice, oh, I would give you this advice. I would just tell you to give God the praise because he's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Oh, he's worthy of all praise. And let's just raise our hands in a spirit of thanksgiving on this Lord's day. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price. Thank you for the price you paid. Your amazing grace. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're giving praise today, so we know that God dwells in the midst of praises. Won't you lift your hands up to heaven today and say thank you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. All for this, Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Be high and lift it up, God. Be you high and lift it up. Glory, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Nobody but Jesus could do it for us, taking away our sins of everything that we've done from the time we were born up to here and now. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God. Creator of all things, Lord, thank you for Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. For God has given him a name above every name, and it is at the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Be ye high and lifted up. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb of God. Oh, praise his holy name. I feel the anointing in the midst. There's someone out in listening land. I don't know whether you're in America, North America, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in Africa or in Antarctica or Australia. But there's someone out there in this new land. Your consciousness has been really bothering you. Your ability to function, your ability to sleep, to work, and to carry out your daily regimens have been impacted. You know the way of the truth. You know the righteousness of God. You know the path in which God has instilled upon you. It's time for you to come back to your Genesis. Come back to the fold, because God has protected you. He has kept you. He has watched over you despite the fact that you strayed away from the truth. Let me tell you what the Word of God says, that God is married to the backslider. God's hand is yet enveloped upon you. And when you renew your relationship with the Lord, your life is going to take a miraculous path of recovery. I know in times past you were hurt through the congregation. You were prejudged. You were made to feel less than. You felt as though you had no rightfulness to do anything, that you were less than others. But no, what God calls clean, let no man call unclean. Come back to the fold. God wants to do some great and miraculous miracles in your life. And your miracles are going to impact those around you. This is a very unusual word. And I want you to hold this word and reconnect your relationship back to God. He never disconnected from you. You disconnected from him, and he's waiting with open arms. Jesus is waiting with open arms to receive you back into the fold. And on this time of your journey, you will run faster than you ever have. You will walk even the more and not become weary. You will run faster than ever and not faint, because God has restored you to your pathway in which he would have you to travel, the pathway of righteousness. There's others out there. Come back to the phone. Because let me tell you something. This is an exciting time to be in the body of Christ. We're going to experience miracles on the supernatural frequency. We're going to experience the manifestation of spoken miracles that are going to materialize into physical miracles, healings in the body of vital organs, psychological scars are going to be removed, and emotional scars, psychological mindsets are going to be revitalized, strengthened. God is going to reconnect you on a higher level of frequency in your earthly life. See, God wants us to live a long, happy, prosperous earthly life so we can be a living testimony, because we are living epistles being read of men daily. So he wants us to be the best, to have the best, to be victorious, to have all that heaven offers. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no affliction in heaven. There's no heaviness in heaven. There's no brokenheartedness in heaven. There's no desperation and anxiety in heaven. Heaven lays the foundation for what happens upon the earth. Remember when Jesus told Peter, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose upon the earth shall be loosed in heaven. So that lets us know that heaven sets the platform for excellence. And we're going to receive that as I'm speaking the word of knowledge to you now. Praise God for his greatness. And we're so glad you tuned in to Manna of Restoration. That's right. Because we are receiving the highest level of partaking that is available to humanity. And we don't just receive the highest level of provision for us to sit on it. No, we have to share this knowledge. We have to share this gift. We have to share this greatness with others. And praise God for the opportunity, and know that I am praying for you, you, and yours. Let's go to the word of God, for we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And I thank God for those of you who are in listening land, to those of you who are connecting and saying, you know what? I want the best that God has to offer. Open up your heart, open up your mind, and receive it. Receive it, because he's already provided it. He's already done that. I want you to go with me to the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. And I want you to go with me to the first verse. And before we go into the reading of the word, we're going to talk about how God assures victory against oppression, how God guarantees salvation from the captors, how God has promised. And let me tell you something. God watches over his word to perform it. He said, my word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that as we go into your word, Lord, as we partake of the greatness of your word, of your spirit, of your knowledge, that you bless, touch, and anoint every listening ear so that they are able to perceive the very essence of your presence and to act upon your promises and to be the living testimony of your existence, Father God. Break every chain of hindrance, of oppression, of frustration, of anxiety, of lack, of affliction, of everything that would counteract
your children from progressing and moving forward. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we thank you in advance for all these blessings. Amen and amen. Amen means so be it. It's already done. And let me tell you something. This book that I'm going to be reading from is a very, very essential guide to every believer. Some people say, oh, the Old Testament was for those who were, you know, preamble of the New Covenant. No. All 66 books of the Holy Scriptures are for our learning, for our edification, for our knowledge, for our wisdom, and for us to gain understanding so that when we go out to witness to others through our presence, that others are touched, healed, blessed, and prospered by it. And here in the book of Exodus, we are seeing and we are acknowledging the aftermath of deliverance. You see, sometimes some deliverances are step by step because God is teaching us. He's teaching us valuable lessons that will be essential to us in our walk, in our journey. Some deliverances are just instantaneous or right then and there because God wants to keep us healthy. He wants us well. He wants us to be fruitful and multiplicious, and he doesn't want us to be taken down to the least common denominator. So that manifestation of deliverance is instantaneous. And some deliverance is gradual because you know what? God has to reveal himself to us because as we testify, as we minister, we have to be sure to bear the fruits of righteousness so that we don't repel or repulse others away, and so that we're humble. And sometimes when God has to coexist within us and to show us humility, sometimes it's a progression. It is a steady progression. And sometimes progressions are not always pleasant because God reveals things to us, then he removes things from us. And sometimes you say that, you know what, this person just walked out of my life and is no longer communicating with me. Sometimes God sends people away from you because not only are they distractions, but some people are sent by the enemy. Don't you know that God sends people into our lives who are geared for the kingdom of heaven's work? Don't you know that Satan, the lion's wonder, sends people to us to distract us, to have us despondent? So God oftentimes puts a divider in between us and those people. It's not that God is trying to punish us. He's trying to protect us and to keep us traveling that pathway of righteousness. So here, exciting news, extra, extra, read all about it. The children of Israel, God has delivered them from the hand of the oppressor, Pharaoh. Well, in the next couple of broadcasts, we're going to be right in this book, because we need to talk about the power of God's deliverance. Here it is. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. This was an actual stanza of a song. When the Egyptians sought to destroy the children of Israel, God told Moses to stretch forth his staff, his rod, and in doing so, he would make a path down the Red Sea. And that all the children of Israel had to do was to walk down that path and they would get to the other side. And natural expectation, scientific explanation, that's not possible. But according to the law of God, see, God specializes, I want you to understand this, in the impossible. And when Moses did what God said do, a path was made down the middle of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked
They walked fervently and got to the other side. Lo and behold, when Pharaoh and his army saw the children of Israel walk through the water, he designated in his mind that he was going to tell his soldiers, his commanders, to go after them and to take them out. Well, God had something else in mind. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. This is still the song because they saw what became of Pharaoh's men. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts have he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. So you see, the proof and the evidence is when Pharaoh's army followed behind the children of Israel, God commanded the sea to come together and drown Pharaoh's army. His entire army was wiped out. God said in his word, touch not my anointed. God's word has not changed, but his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. They were destroyed. God offers the same protection to those who follow that pathway to righteousness. God gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right, but it shall not come near you, near me. That's right. And you know what else he said? Neither shall any evil befall us, and neither shall any plague come nigh our dwelling. What a mighty God we serve. And the children of Israel witnessed this. The fifth verse, the depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. That means they went to the very epitome of the Red Sea. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy. That means that, Lord, you destroyed the oppressors. You destroyed those who held us captive. You destroyed those who attempted to be dictators and rulers over us, to enslave us. Because, see, he that the Son has set free is free and free indeed. So God watched over his word, and he performed it. He kept his promise. And in the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as a stubble. It's saying, for those who tried to challenge you, you destroyed everything within their grasp. And then within their grasp, when everything was decimated, you destroyed them. You see, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. And one way you can ruffle God's feathers, mess with his anointing, mess with his faithful, mess with his appointed, mess with those who have a praying spirit, mess with those who always are laying on his bosom crying out to him, oh, you're asking for a terrible thing to come into your life. Don't mess with God's people. Don't get it twisted. Because God will straighten it out. And here, we're going to read the next verse. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as the heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. That means that God allowed the waves to stand up and then come together and swallowed up everything that was in the pathway. What a mighty God that we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Just lift your hands and say thank you, Lord, at this time. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Lord. You see, the Egyptians thought that their armies and their advanced technology made them superior to the children of Israel. But oh, just as David spoke to Goliath and Goliath stood there towering three times his size with the Philistinian army behind him, and he said, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands. God delivered the Egyptians into the hands of the children of Israel. 40 years they spent in captivity. 40 years, 40 represents chastisement. Because whatever you do, even in your earthly life, whatever you didn't do right in your 40, preempting your 40 years of earthly life, you do an assessment in that 40th year, 39 years. And then that 40th year is a time of assessment, revitalization, restructure. So God had to do some things with the children of Israel because they had fallen into the wrong path. But it wasn't the Egyptians' responsibility to straighten them out. It was God's responsibility to straighten them out. So when a child of God does not walk in the pathway of righteousness, it's not for the fallen man to try to administer chastisement or discipline. It's for God to do it. If you assume God's role and your position to do that, you're going to get in trouble with God. And when you get in trouble with God, we don't know how he's going to react. We don't know if it could be a physical condition, whether it be a financial condition, a relationship condition. We don't know, but don't try it. So therefore, you won't even have to wonder in which way. And look and behold this. The ninth verse. The enemy said, I will pursue. That means I will come after them. I will overtake. That means we're going to catch them. We're going to bring them back in to where they thought they left. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. So this is what was embedded in the mind of Pharaoh. Because remember, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. So therefore, he had no sentiment. He had no compassion. And he was just believing within himself that he owned the children of Israel. Each time they told the children, the Egyptians, and told them, God said, let his people go. Let his people go. God sent plagues. He sent the plague of the locusts, the plague of the flies, the frogs, the boils, the sores, the cankers. He sent the rivers a message to be contaminated where they couldn't drink from it, where all the aquatic life and the dietary provisions within the circumference of those rivers were even contaminated. Then came the death of the firstborn. And you know something? Pharaoh still didn't release. And so here he was thinking that he was going to challenge God. It's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. And he found out that the God of the children of Israel was more real than any of his deities, Isis, Osiris, Amun-Ra, any of those deities. Those deities were but idols, mythological figures. But the God of the children of Israel is real. This was Israel. God is real, Israel. And that's why their name, Israel. God is real. Here we go. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. That means they went to the very epitome of the waters for disobeying God. 11th verse. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. I mean, who can challenge God? Who can fight God? Who can even equivocate to God? God is sovereign. And here is a revelational piece I want to share with you. You see, God, Father God, Creator, Jehovah, that's right, Jehovah, Yahweh, is a creator. He created the celestial bodies. of the sun, the stars, the planets. He created earth. He created all living creatures, both great and small. Plants, vegetation. There's a difference between plants and vegetation. Plants are not to be eaten and consumed. Vegetation is to be consumed. All aquatic life. He caused division between the land and the sea, created boundaries. He is the creator. Whatever he thought, he spoke, and it materialized. Satan is a perpetrator. He wanted to be as God, but guess what? He couldn't create anything. See, this is where the dividing line is. He can't create anything. Only thing that he can do is to deceive. Use words. Use persuasion. God didn't have to persuade anything and anyone. He's God. Inside him, there's none other. All he has to do is speak it, and there it is. That's right. That's why Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning. So as a creator, he's sovereign. He can't be challenged. The masterpiece can never be equated to the master. Because, see, the master has the creator's ability to manifest because he possesses that power. And this is what the problem was. Satan couldn't master the ability to create. So he envied. He wanted to be as God. Blind ambition is what he became a victim of. And it's the reason why we have to walk humbly before God. And this is the reason why there's such a great falling away. We start looking at ministers and pastors and other officers, and we start adoring and worshiping them. And then we start falling into the sequence of adoring what they say as opposed to what the Word of God says. Now, this is the reason why we have to walk the path of righteousness so that we don't get into idolatric worship. Idol worship will get you in a lot of trouble because you're worshiping a finite or limited creature. The creature, understand this, will never be equal to the creator. Let's go to the next verse. Thou stretchest out, this is the 12th verse, stretches out thy hand, the earth swallows them. That means they were no more. They were erased. They should have left God's people alone. Pharaoh should have let the children of Israel depart from there. Moses was the mouthpiece that God used to get the message across. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. I mean, Lord, you led your people out from this land of bondage and to release them into a land that flowed with milk and honey. 14th verse, the people shall hear and be afraid. Saul shall take them on the inhabitants of Palestinia. That means Palestine. That means other nations will hear what God has done, and they will be fearful and think twice before they confront the children of Israel because they worship the only true God that there is. 15th verse, then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. That means these people are going to back up and back off. They're going to know not to mess with the children of Israel because these are God's chosen people. And you and I as believers in Christ Jesus, we're part of spiritual Israel. We are part because we've taken on the name of Jesus. God sees us through the eyes of Jesus. He sees us as righteous, but we put on the righteousness of Christ when we accept him, when we repent, and we receive salvation. God sees us through the eyes of his only begotten and beloved Son. 16th verse, fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. That means they're going to be willing to let us go by
and go on through our journey because they know that you're with us and you're watching over us, protecting us and keeping us. 17th verse, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountains of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, that thou hast made for thee to dwell in, the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. And what God has established, no man can unestablish. 18th verse, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. 19th verse, for the horse of Pharaoh went in his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought against the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. That's their testimony. God delivered us from our oppressors and destroyed them and cast them into the bottom of the sea. 20th verse, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancers. Now, for those of you doubting the disputers out there saying a woman can't teach, woman can't prophesy, Miriam was chosen by God as a prophetess. A prophetess is an instructor, a teacher, a leader. So God didn't remove women from the plan. He instituted a posture, a position for women to fulfill. And in fulfilling that purpose, God is glorified. And Miriam answered them, saying, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have he thrown in the sea. So she spoke these words and had them to say the stanza, this verse, describing what God the Almighty had done to their oppressors. 22nd verse, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went there 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, after the deliverance, here it goes, and we're going to see things go a little awry, and we're going to pick up again next week. What happened is that after their journey, they were battle-weary because they had been through a lot, but guess what? There was no sick amongst them. There was not a feeble person amongst any of them because God kept them. He protected them. He covered them with the blood. The song says, when I see the blood, I'll pass right over you. God protected them and kept them. So there was no harm going to come to them. But they were tired. They wanted water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of the place was called Marah. Look out. They were thirsty. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? You know, sometimes God can do so much for people. He can bless and prosper them, heal their bodies, heal their minds, heal their relationships, give them the areas of prosperity where they're flourishing financially, able to give back. And sometimes, despite all that God does, some people are never, ever satisfied. And this is what was wrong with them. They were dissatisfied because they wanted provisions given straight unto them without any elaborate intensity. But here's the 23rd verse, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters, and its waters were made sweet. Where he made for them a statue as an ordinance, and there he proved them. That means God showed Moses, okay, here's where the water is. Go, get them something to drink. Because they're murmuring, complaining, they're rising up against you, they're blaming you. They fail to realize that you took a lot of the backlash for what they should have experienced. But Moses was obedient to God, and he did what God said. And 26 verse said, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, what are we talking about? God said, if you obey me, he's talking to us still. God is the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament, honey. God said, you walk in the path of righteousness, and you carry in remembrance who I am,
my power, and walk the path of righteousness. None of these diseases, these afflictions that the world, each of the stylizes the world, that the world is encountering, I will protect you. Didn't Psalm 91 say that God said, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling? Okay, my body is the temple. It's the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple and dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. He said that none of these things will come upon us. If it comes upon us, it won't make us sick. God will allow us to have an immune system that's superior to all and will bounce off of us. Because we're being kept. We're a kept people. We're not just, we're God's people, but God's people are a kept people. God's true people. Let's be honest about this. Our kept people. And he's saying, I'm not going to let any of these things come upon you. Who would want the sufferings of Egypt in their body, in their household? Nobody. So walk the walk as you talk the talk. Remember God. Keep his ordinance. Keep his law. Stop compromising with the world. Because the world has become a very desolate place. They've instituted some things that are just unholy and unorthodox and not pleasing to God. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palms. That means 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. That was the final verse. So God made a provision for them. He brought them into a land where they would have what they needed. See, sometimes it's things that we want, and God say we don't need, okay? And sometimes we want to press and get what we want. But God said, but you don't need that. I need you to do this. And sometimes we're saying, God, I want that corned beef sandwich with the double Swiss cheese and the double pickles, and not knowing that our blood pressure is being challenged and we want it. And then suddenly the shop is closed down and you can't get there and you're mad. God kept you from elevating your blood pressure. He kept you healthy by not allowing you into that delicatessen. So we don't know how God protects us, but we should thank God even when the little barriers in life come up. We don't know what God's protecting us from, but we should just say, thank you, Lord. And say in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Listen, have a blessed, glorious, victorious, and spirit-filled week, and the miracles of God may you experience on a continual and a perpetual basis. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. You got your host, the Esquire Abby Phelps. No, Jamal City, Mount Ronnie, saying in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Have a blessed, glorious, victorious, spirit-filled, anointed, appointed, miracle experience in you. Oh, yeah.